Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, happy Father's Day to all the men who are here. And, you know, one small boy said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day. Except you don't spend as much on the present. Father's Day is one of those days that usually it's kind of, sometimes I think Father's Day was like, oh, we did something for mothers, we better do something for fathers too. Sometimes it feels like an afterthought, but I know it isn't always. Because we can be thankful for the fathers that God has given us. And today, as I talk, I realize that for some of us, we've not always had good fathers. In fact, some maybe have fathers you'd rather forget. You'd rather not talk about. And that's okay. It's sad. Because God wanted that relation to be special. And so, today I want us, for those of you who don't have that, think about those men who come into your life and were spiritual fathers to you, or are to you. I know this last week I called up my mentor, who's sort of my spiritual father. In fact, when I talk to him on the phone, a lot of times I'll say, how's it going, Dad? Because in my heart, he's a father to me. And even at 57 years old, I'm calling up and say, hey, Dad, I've got a problem. So I want to say right off, though I'm talking about the fact that all the good things about fathers, I want to acknowledge that sometimes there's a dark side. And that's a shame, because God wanted this to be special. And so I want to celebrate, though, that special relationship that God intended for fathers to have with their children. Mark Twain once said that when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he learned in 7 years. Someone wrote these humorous words entitled "The World According to Dad." Words that dads may have said at some time or another to their children. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I always question that one. Quiet, I'm trying to watch the ball game. Don't forget to check the oil. Bring back all of the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. I'm not made out of money. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to school back and forth every day. How about this one? You're going and you're going to have fun. Who pays the bills around here anyway? I love this one. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. Oh, on second thought, go ahead. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. I'm trying to think. Why? I bet you've all heard this one. Because I... Yeah, you all heard that one too, didn't you? If you don't quit, I'm going to call your mother. I wasn't asleep. I was just resting my eyes. I've heard that in church a few times. Those are their fathers who probably added a couple other things to that list. Being a parent can be an interesting and trying at times experience. Someone once said that parents spend the first part of the child's life urging them to talk and walk, and the rest of the child trying to get them to sit down and be quiet. One father, I want to use a lot of illustrations today because I think it's fun. Because usually, I don't know about you, but in the past, growing up, on Mother's Day, it was kind of like, mothers, you're so great, you're so wonderful. On a Father's Day, is, you creeps, you ought to live better. Like, really? So I want to have fun today, I hope. One father asked his teenage son, do you mind if I borrow my car tonight? I'd like to take your wife, your mother out and impress her. Father of a daughter said, what's wrong, Judy? Usually on the phone for hours. This time you only talked for like 30 minutes. She said, oh, yeah, it was the wrong number. Parentings and fatherings can also have real trials, and yet it's a real blessing. And so I want us again, like I said, to remember and honor our earthly fathers and those who are fathers to us spiritually. Today I want to propose that perhaps we should say, thanks, Dad. Thanks. I may not spend as much on this gift, but thanks. Because sometimes we forget that. And sometimes those simple words mean a lot. In fact, sometimes those simple words can carry a lot more weight than you know. But I want us to remember to be thankful for fathers who provided for their families. Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. It's like, wow. Worse than an unbeliever? How is that worse than an unbeliever? Because usually the unbelievers, usually they take care of their families. I have heard a father or two, though I use that word loosely because I don't know if they were really filling into that role, that said, God's called me to ignore you and leave you. Not according to my scriptures, but... So if your father was good about providing for you, say thanks. Say thanks. Because sometimes fathers have worked jobs, mothers too, but we're talking about fathers today, have worked jobs they haven't necessarily liked. Did things they actually didn't like doing. Why? Because they need to take care of their family. They didn't like it. They didn't want to do it. But they knew there was a need that needed to be met. And they weren't going take a shortcut. They were going to do what was necessary to provide for their family. If that meant getting up early, if that meant going out and working at a job they didn't necessarily like, they did it. Not to pat myself on the back, but I know for a number of years I worked in a factory and we worked in something called swing shift. How many have ever worked at the torturous thing called swing shift? I'm sorry. After a while, after an accident, I started getting migraines, and the doctor finally said, if you quit that job, your headaches will probably get better because that swing shift is what's causing you most of your problems. Because my headaches were related to my sleeping habits. And y'all know you sleep great on swing shift. Y'all laughed at that. You didn't believe me, did you? And I looked at him and said, Doc, I need this job. I need to make sure to take care of my family. And I bet a number of men in here, or maybe even a number of your parents at one time or another, did jobs they didn't like, but they wanted to make sure to provide for you. They wanted to provide for their family. So say thanks. Say thanks. And for those of you who are doing those things even now, thanks. People may not notice it, but you might be surprised. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 6, verses 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Which reminds me, we should be thankful for faithful instruction. The Living Bible says, "Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, but making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up in the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves." As fathers, we instruct our children in a lot of things, sometimes on purpose, sometimes just by our actions. There are things you may actually see in your life that you realize, "Oh yeah, I learned that from Dad." You instruct more than you know. You teach more than you know. Sometimes those things are on purpose, some things aren't. Fathers give instructions, all kinds of things to their children, from school to work to relationships to dating to driving a car. Like I said, this week I called my spiritual father and asked him, "Hey, what should I do about this situation? I have questions." And after talking with for a while, I bet none of you have ever said this to your kids, or your dad may have never said it to you. You need to just take the bull by the horn and do this. Another way of saying, you need to man up. Like, thanks, I really didn't want to hear that. But it was true. And for all the ways that we instruct, let's say thank you. But we also need to be careful. The name of the man of John Burton said these words about being a father. He said, "When I was young, baseball was my life. You can imagine the excitement when my oldest son began playing. The game would be one of our main bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great ball player. Learn to read curveballs, swing his body weight with a swing, steal bases, turn double plays. These things that separate amateurs from pros." But Burton said, "A pattern developed in our relationship because of my familiarity with the game. I saw every mistake my son made. In addition, I knew how to correct them. So post-game drives began a critique about how he could improve his game. It soon got old for my son. Finally, one day he said, 'Dad, could you start by not telling me what I did wrong, but by telling me what I did right?'" I have to admit for myself, when I see something, especially if I like an idea, I want to add to it, or I want to put something else on it. It's kind of like if somebody's got a decoration, I was like, "Oh, if you just turn it, that's so much better." Except the person you just turned their thing that they put up there after spending a lot of time on. I'm trying to improve it, but actually what it looks like I'm critiquing. So fathers, watch yourselves on that. But also realize, if you start out by saying those good things, it makes a point, it touches the lives. We need to ask ourselves, are we being critics or are we being coaches? Remember, Paul said, don't exasperate your children. Don't get them all upset. One father confessed. He said, I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not of the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not to be fishers of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. I taught them the church was full of hypocrites and made the greater hypocrite of them and of me. I gave them color TV, but no Bible. I handed them the keys to the cars, but didn't give them the keys to the kingdom. I taught them how to make a living, but I failed to bring them to Christ, who can alone give them life. At the end of the day, I failed. But for those men in our lives who've done it, tried to do it right, who tried to give those faithful instructions, thanks. Thank you. We realize you don't always get it right. We won't either. But we appreciate it. And finally, well, let's be thankful for godly illustration, or basically, a godly life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, follow my example as I follow Christ. Please notice Paul didn't say, do everything I do. We shouldn't always do everything our parents do. Though this is Father's Day, I'm going to pull my mom out on this one. My mom told me, she said, learn from my good and my bad. Repeat the good, learn from the bad, and don't do that. For many people, we've had men in our lives who've been godly examples. Sometimes they were our fathers, sometimes not. But they've been there and they've shown what it's like to be a Christian. Shown what it's like to be that man of God that cares for those around them and cares for the church. And because we've talked about faithful instruction, one of the greatest instructions you can show is by just being that godly man. And so for those of you who are striving to be that godly man, thank you. Thank you. One man spoke of his father. He said, when I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for a circus. This was years ago. Finally, there was only one family between us and the ticket counter. This family made a very big impression on me. There were 8 children, probably all under the age of 12. You could tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were not expensive, but they were clean. The children were well-behaved, all of them standing in line, 2 by 2, behind their parents, holding hands. Their exciting jabbering about the clowns, elephants, and the other acts they would see that night. One could sense they had never been to a circus before. It was probably promised to be a highlight of their young lives. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing as proud as could. The mother was holding her husband's hand, looking at him as if to say, you're my knight in shining armor. He was smiling, basking in pride, looking at her. The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted. He proudly said, I need to buy 8 children's tickets and 2 adults so I can take my family to the circus. The ticket lady quoted the price. The wife let go of her husband's hand. Her head dropped. The man's lip began to quiver. The father leaned in a little closer and said, how much did you say? The ticket lady quoted the price. Clearly the man didn't have enough money. How was he supposed to turn and tell these 8 kids they didn't have enough money? This man said, my dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it on the ground. He said, we are not wealthy by any means. But my father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder, and said, excuse me, sir. I found this on the ground. It may have fell out of your pocket. The man knew what was going on. He wasn't begging for a handout and certainly appreciated the help in the desperate time. He looked straight in this man's dad's eyes and said, squeezing tightly the $20 bill, "Thank you. Thank you so much. This really means a lot to me and my family." He said, "My father and I went back to the car and drove home. We didn't go to the circus that night. We didn't go out. And we didn't do without." What a father that man was. What an illustration. And in our lives, it's those times when things are hard, when we can show forth a godly illustration of what God is like. And if you had a father that was like that, or if you had a man in your life that was like that, tell him thanks. Fathers, let's be the men God wants us to be. And to everyone else, honor those men in your life who strive to be the people God wants them to be. It's a shame to think that many men become biological fathers, but never really become fathers. So thank those in your life who have been that father to you. I look back right now at some of you, and I know you've been tried to be godly fathers. Dennis, I'm going to embarrass you. Stand up. That requires moving your legs and standing up. Yeah, stand up. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to hide around the corner either. I can about imagine, after the couple of years that Dennis served as pastor here, that he was probably a spiritual father to many of you. Thank you. I'm through embarrassing you, you can sit down now. Say thanks to those men who've meant a lot. It's Father's Day. Let's celebrate those men. And let's be the men God wants us to be. Dear Father, I ask now that you would reach down and touch everyone in this place. Lord, for those who did not have good fathers, that Lord, you would remind them about people who have been fathers to them. For those who have lost their fathers, Lord, help them as they grieve that loss. And Lord, remind us that you are our heavenly Father, there to look out for us and watch out for us and love us. And so, Father, we thank you this Father's Day for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand and sing together. And now, Father, I ask you to go forth, send each one forth in your presence and in your love. Remind them that you are their Heavenly Father that's watching over them. Grant them the grace they need to live this life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are 19 pies downstairs, everyone. If you can't find what you like,